Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine.
Part of the reason that sponsors come on board is A, that you've got a great idea for your expedition and they will get exposure, as you would imagine, and also that they have a belief in you and your capability.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today I'm joined by Sue Stockdale. Now, okay, get this. Sue was the first British woman to ski to the North Pole. I've interviewed some pretty amazing people both on this podcast and on the other shows I do, but that has to be the single coolest thing I've had anybody talk to me about on the show. I mean, that's cool, right? Come on. But Sue, in planning another expedition, wound up having to cancel and call and tell the sponsors that it wasn't going through. That's coming up after the break. What's cool about Mecco Radio is that we make a ton of indie podcasts, including the first show I ever made, My Wax Museum. My Wax Museum was started in my own effort to become a better listener. I sit down each week for a 30-minute interview with someone I just so happen to know. You can find My Wax Museum, Broken Bulbs, and everything else from Mecco Radio on mechoradio.com. That's MECHO radio.com. Or listen wherever you get your podcasts. Now, onto the show. Sue Stockdale, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. So let's talk about an expedition that you planned for, that you got sponsorships for and everything, and then you didn't end up going ahead with it. Would you mind laying the groundwork as to how this all started?
Well, back in 1996, I, on an expedition, became the first British woman to ski to the magnetic North Pole. So that was a huge achievement and a great success. And it encouraged and inspired me to do further expeditions. So at that time, there hadn't been a British woman that had got to the geographical North Pole. This was the magnetic North Pole that I'd been successful in. So I looked at doing an expedition there, and I'm not one to do expeditions on my own. I always like to be part of a team. So I teamed up with another very experienced explorer who'd been on our North Pole expedition to plan an expedition that was going from the Russian side of the Arctic to the geographical North Pole. And what some of the strengths I bring to expedition organising is doing the marketing, the PR, bringing on the sponsors. And my colleague was organising the equipment and the logistics, the practicalities of the expedition. So it was quite a good match, complementing skills. And we'd been working on it for about a year. And by that time, I'd gained a number of sponsors who were providing us finances, who were providing us clothing and equipment. And part of the reason that sponsors come on board is A, that you've got a great idea for your expedition and they will get exposure, as you would imagine. And also that they have a belief in you and your capability. So my previous achievements, as also with my colleagues' achievements, that reputation was part of the reason that those sponsors were engaging with us. Now, after 12 months of planning, my teammate, he had a number of other challenges that he was facing, and he decided that this expedition that we were planning together was not the right thing for him. And he reluctantly decided to step down. And I could have found somebody else to fill his spot, but it wasn't going to be somebody with the same strengths and, you know, complementary abilities as he had had. So I decided that really the next best thing, if there wasn't another option, was to then just say, look, you know, we're not going to do this expedition. So, but then how do you tell your sponsors? They're people who've put their trust in you. They've been on your side. And that's a pretty difficult thing. I certainly found it a very difficult thing to do. Because do you have to give your money back? Do you have to give the equipment back? What's going to happen? But I took courage in my both hands, and I made those calls and spoke to them, fully expecting that if I had to return all the money and the equipment, then that would have to be the case. What I found to my surprise was that they accepted that in many of the towns where they sponsor expeditions, the people organizing them don't keep in touch with them. They don't tell them what they're doing. And they don't even take photographs on the expedition of their sponsor's equipment to actually fulfill their side of the bargain. So I was, in communicating with them, we were perhaps out of the norm and they weren't expecting that. And because of that, they were actually willing. They said, look, we know things happen, situations change, keep the equipment, keep the money. We have faith in you. And if there's other things you're doing in the future, please come back to us.
That is incredible. And I mean, it shows so much integrity and honesty on your part to go and do that. And it makes sense from a business standpoint, I suppose, that you would budget in for some of them don't work out. Some of them don't really go ahead. You send them the stuff and it doesn't work out that great. But I think that says so much about your character to them, to go to them and say, this is what happened. This is why it didn't work out. That is amazing. Is there any way that you continue applying those lessons of honesty in your life now? And how is it that you apply that?
Well, I can think of another example, Alex, from the world of running my own business. And, you know, finances keeps a business afloat. So keeping in communication and being honest with your bank manager is really important. And sometimes for many people I know, it's kind of a scary thing. You want to not tell your bank manager what you're doing because you want to, you know, keep your overdraft or whatever it might be. And I think it's about sometimes fear of the unknown. And that was what I learned about having those conversations with the sponsors, was actually just face it, face up to it, have the conversation. And in business, I've had times where I've had, you know, challenging cash flows over the years. And, you know, people aren't going to pay me as quickly as they said, but you know you're going to get the money. It's just maybe not as in the cash flow as soon as you'd like it. So you do need to have a little bit of flexibility. So I found, again, with the bank managers that I've dealt with over the years, being upfront with them, keeping them in the loop in communication, and having that ongoing communication is a far better way to have enable them to have some flexibility. And I've found that that keeps them on side, and I've been able to extend my overdraft, increase it. They've been willing to understand the situation. It's, I think, just human beings. We don't like surprises, and it's about communicating with people will make a huge difference. And that's what I've learned over the years.
So of course, communication is huge. And I think it's impressive that you've applied it so well, and you've already all obviously reaped the benefits from that. I'm curious, because as an entrepreneur and as I'm sure other creatives are listening, they might feel like, you know, okay, that's scary, right? It's scary to have to get up the gumption to go and say, this is what's happening. This is what's happened. I know I said that this would happen, but I failed. It's not working out. How do you get up the guts to go and make that happen? Because in our heads, we know exactly what you're saying. We know that communication is important. But how do you go about actually carrying that forward?
I think one thing is to practice kind of having the conversation out loud. So not just in your head, but even if you're just speaking to the wall or speaking to a fictitious person, just try to express the form of words that you might use in that conversation. And I think prefacing it with at the start of the conversation is, look, I've got some really difficult news I need to share with you. Or I know this is not what you want to hear, but I think we need to have this conversation. Then you're kind of setting the person up to expect that it's not going to be something they want to necessarily hear, rather than just rocking up and saying, hey, everything's great, you know, and by the way, I'm not doing the expedition, or there's no money in my bank account, whatever it would be. So there's something about how you construct the conversation, set up and preface it with it's going to be difficult, this is going to be a tough thing that you might not want to hear, but I think it's important to say it. Be very kind of factual in the essence of the message can be lost when we say too much, when we go on too long. So either writing down or talking out loud to practice, What is it that you, the facts or the detail that you need to get across? For example, with the expedition, you know, we've been working on this project for a year. My partner, for various reasons that are outside of his control, is no longer able to take part in the expedition. You've been so supportive with us, with your sponsorship, and I want to honour that by letting you know up front that this is the situation. I know we've been given your equipment, and I just want to know from you, where do we stand now? Do you want that equipment back, or what should we do next? And listening, you know, practicing that type of language out loud before you have the conversation. And then also thinking about what's going to happen if I don't have the conversation. The consequences, in my experience, just get bigger and bigger, and the issue magnifies itself in our brain. So to not have that fear, thinking about it every waking hour, consuming our waking thoughts, make a plan, work out the words that you want to say, practice it, and then when you go into the conversation with the other person, say your piece and then stop and listen. And when you can have that connection with somebody else, you'll find it's easier than you thought.
At the end of every episode, I always leave time for you to share what's working. Obviously, that expedition didn't work out, but what's working for you now, Sue?
Well, I think that expedition really began because I was inspired from the first North Pole expedition that I did. And I think that ingredient of inspiration is so powerful for anybody, as I'm sure people listening to this podcast will be inspired by listening to these experiences that people are sharing. I'm working on a podcast. We're now on the fourth series. It's called Access to Inspiration. And I talk to ordinary people from around the world who have achieved amazing and extraordinary, and sometimes necessarily not that extraordinary things, but they have a passion and a desire and an energy that's infectious when they share their story. And that in its own right can be really inspiring. Just listening to somebody else's experience perhaps gets us to transcend our own day-to-day challenges and maybe think about our own situation in quite a different way. So I guess I'm on a quest to spread the experience of free energy that we get when we're inspired.
That is excellent. And where can people find Access to Inspiration?
Well, if you can get on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Stitcher, all the main podcasting platforms, type in Access to Inspiration, or our website, accesstoinspiration.org. You'll find all the episodes on there and transcriptions for each one.
Excellent. Well, we'll have links for all of that in the show notes. I myself have, well, by the time this comes out, I've probably listened to multiple. I've already listened to one as of recording, but I just want to say thank you, Sue, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Alex. It's great to speak to you.
And thank you for listening and for your feedback. It was recommended to me that I take a couple sentences at the end of each episode to share some of my own takeaways from the episode. From the experience Sue shared today, I learned the reward of honesty and open communication. Keeping that channel open opens the door for trust in all our relationships. In fact, this is one of the single biggest lessons that has stuck with me throughout the continued recording of this podcast. And of course, if you have feedback for us, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Broken Bulbs Pod. Special thank you to Sue Stockdale for joining me and being willing to talk about her broken bulbs. Be sure to listen to Access to Inspiration and check out the rest of Sue's work in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork was by Bethany Gustafson, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.